The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience, not valid with any other offer.
Hey, this is Father Boskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality. Well, it's a podcast that looks at the very fabric of our being through the lenses of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. But we polish them up in a new manner, and we call that Armadoxy. So we invite you to sit back right now and look at life with us through those lenses. This podcast is part of the expanding vision of the Initiatives mission and brought to you by the cool folks over at Epostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an electronic universe. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. Ah, you had to run the disclaimer early today. I wonder what's up with that, huh? Kind of want to, like, tell the people what they're in for before they listen to it. Hey, welcome, everybody. I'm so glad you're with us today. We have a great podcast for you. I am so pumped up from last Sunday. You know, it was just such an event to have that gathering for Darfur. I want to tell you all about it because it was really exciting. I don't know if you've been following some of the people that have been posting on Facebook and on Twitter. And of course, we've updated the Inishu's website with some of the pictures, but it was just a fantastic afternoon. It was a blessed afternoon, I have to say it that way. We went out there to show some support for the people in Darfur, never expecting that the turnout would be so great, and just a really wide variety of people showed up. Different people from different walks of life all coming and sharing and being a part of a movement. I want to say it's a movement of people saying that enough about focusing on ourselves. Yeah, I know. You got the big focus with the Charlie Sheen this past couple weeks. I can't believe it. I can't believe what's going on. I mean, like, get a life, folks. I mean, there's like nothing else that you're concerned about. Okay, anyway, I am not going to play into that trap. No more. Not going to talk about him, okay? Let's talk about some exciting things. Well, like what we did, the gathering for Darfur. We're going to be talking about Lent and... All right, let's let Ken have a little bit of fun. Are you enjoying all these toys? Yes, of course. Well, Ken has a new computer, and he is downloading music files. All right. I know that's not the reason. Yes, Ken wants me to let you know that I saw Eric Clapton in concert. Yes, just a couple days ago. And I gotta tell you, by the way, he did not play Layla. He didn't play the electric version of Layla. I was waiting for that riff, that Layla riff, and just wanted to watch his fingers slide on that Stratocaster. And anyway, didn't get a chance to see that. He played an acoustic version of Layla. Actually, I gotta tell you that over the weekend, I was drained after our Darfur event, and by Monday, we had a full day working with different people. And by Tuesday, I was drained. I got a call from a friend who said, "Hey, I've got an extra ticket to Clapton." And my first thing was, "Oh, I'm so tired." Then you start thinking about it. Are we talking about Eric Clapton? Like, are we talking about living legend? Like, what are the chances of getting to see him, you know? So I grabbed it. I grabbed the opportunity and went. And I got to tell you, it was phenomenal. Went with a few good friends and just enjoyed an evening of, well, I gotta tell you this, it was great music. You know, I think that's what came to me that night. It's music, you know? And like the first time I heard Eric Clapton, I think I was like in my early teens, just young teenager, 1969, playing with Cream and been following his music. Then you start doing the math and you start thinking about, like, okay, 1969, 40 years? We're talking about music that's over 40 years old, and it's still fresh, and it still was talking to you. Well, of course, until you start looking around the the auditorium, the theater, and you see a lot of gray hairs. In fact, even one person with a cane. And you say, okay, well, life goes on. And you're still enjoying it, though. You know, you're still enjoying it. It was a great, great evening. Gave me a chance to reflect a lot about music and seeing just a performer, a musician like Eric Clapton. Does a lot for you. Does a lot for the soul as well. And, of course, we are in the soul time, aren't we? We are in the period of Lent. This is the first podcast we're doing in the Lenten season. And let me tell you that we have updated everything. I know we have got so many people calling, writing about the Lenten files. They have all been updated, and I want to thank Susie. She went over the call of duty, over and above the call of duty. You know, all if you followed Epostle last year, we did an entire Lenten journey sequence of 40 different podcasts, and we had 40 different recipes that Vadojan had put up on the website, and these were all missing. We were getting ready for the Lenten season, and we could not find these files up on the net. And lo and behold, our archive server had moved around these files. They were still there, but the URLs had been shifted. Anyway, not to get too technical, Susie did her magic and put them all in order, and they are all up there. You can go to armenianorthodoxy.org/Lent. Or you could just go to epostle.net, press on the Lenten Journey icon, and you're right there. And you've got 40 messages for every day of the Lenten season, and then taking you through Holy Week, you've got a message a day, 5 to 10 minute message, plus recipes. I mean, we take care of your emotional and spiritual needs, as we take care of your physical needs too. Yeah, download a recipe. Make something great for the Lenten season. I mean, we think of everything. What are you looking for? In fact, I'm looking at that one page right now, and I'm thinking, okay, no. There's just a lot of good stuff. I won't go there. I'll write about it, but I won't go there today. Anyway, I hope you enjoy it, and I want to thank everybody who brought it to our attention. Especially, we got a call from a man in France. Yes, he was looking for the recipes. And so it's just kind of interesting that where we reach out, people plugging in to epostle.net. And, you know, it tells me that the wonders of God, the miracles of God, the blessings of God are always there for us to wonder, for us to leave us in awe, inspired of what we can do. So it is a beautiful Lenten journey. Hey, I got some good news to tell you too, that right now as we speak, our good friend Warren should be released from prison. You know that in Issues Ministry, we've been in an active campaign trying to seek justice for him. He is being let out as we speak right now. Spoke to a few of the friends that were involved, his close friend Dave, who has been very, very much involved in his release. And it should have taken place Monday with the release papers. And right now, don't have an exact time, but he should be breathing and enjoying some of the beautiful free air, and the air of freedom, let me say it that way, and walking on a straight and beautiful path. We wish him the best. We wish him a lot of love and happiness as he starts this new chapter in his life. And that's where we start off. Today we start off with a song of the day. I am going to play you a song called Prayer. It is off of a CD that my friend Father Avedis gave me recently. It is, well, best I can make it out. A lot of Russian writing on here, but it is by an artist named Bulat Ogujava. How's that for a last name, huh? Thought our Armenian ones were pretty challenging. Anyway, a beautiful voice on there, and I wanted to share it with you today. Prayer to start off our Lenten season. And we'll be back in a few minutes. I'm going to tell you all about our gathering for Darfur, tell you about the Lenten season, what it means, especially in light of hacking. Ah, now there's a twist. There's a next step twist. Anyway, here's the song of the day called Prayer. Prayer.
тогстанай мастуна нруйк тор мартун турасирт те бахтавор эдрам дур ев ми моронай масин кани бодотвуме Amenazor terastvats Hoch vor ich hält zangazoga Lini ich heluts hagetsats Arada zerne da tardur Minchor babel chasni
voice of Lilith Sarkissian. That is off of an album called Bulad Ogujava. I guess he's a poet, from what I'm gathering. He's a poet that I should know, I guess. And these poems have been translated by a gentleman named Rafael Babayan. We will put a link on our website, on our show notes for today. You could check it out and get some more detail about that, but just thought it's a nice voice and a nice message to start off the day with. You know, last weekend, there was a lot of opportunity for prayer. It happened to be Punbare Genton, and as I explained last week in the podcast, it is the beginning of the Lenten season, a day of good living. And here in Los Angeles, we had an opportunity to really enjoy that day with a lot of friends, a company of some great musicians. I got to tell you, Igor Mkhitaryan in top form. We had Melina Kurdian, incredible young artist. Just beautiful voice, music. I want to share some of her music with you in coming podcasts. She came out for the event. And of course, Arada Banjan, just, well, you heard it first on The Next Step. Gore told us that he had called and he wanted to be part of the lineup. And we were all just so moved that these artists made time to come out there and be with us. But even more than that, it was just such a moving afternoon to have so many people out there. This is, you got to remember, it's a new step. It is the next step. In many ways, you who have been listening to these Next Step podcasts are a little bit ahead of the game. But you got to remember, in the Los Angeles area, you have such a diverse population, of diverse ethnically, culturally, economically, and people come together, and you have one of the largest concentrations of Armenians outside of Armenia, so one of the largest concentrations in the diaspora. And of course, ethnicity, ethnic identity. These are hot topics, buzzwords. People, they stress over this, keeping ethnic identity. And for a group of Armenians to get together on a Sunday afternoon on the Feast of Pareg Enton and really focus outward was a shift in mentality, a shift in focus, in the paradigm. I mean, at the end of the event, my wife Susan made a comment. I want to share that with you. Well, you know what? Let me back up a little bit, because something did happen at the end. At the very end, we were in for a surprise, and I think that's what really was the wake-up call for us. But let me back up. The entire afternoon was just very special. I mean, you're talking about Griffith Park, one of the largest parks in the United States. I believe it's the largest public park. We're in the Los Angeles area. And in Griffith Park, we've got this one little section over there, and it had banners, you know, stop genocide, banners of our 777 forgiveness formula. We had a small tent there. Camp Darfur had brought that tent there. We had literature. We had our t-shirts, just getting people aware about genocide. Now, you got to remember, people don't want to talk about these things. This is not one of those hot topics, especially, you know, I mean, turn on. I mean, we're just like a week away from the Oscars, you know, like we just got through looking at all that glitter and glow out there, and now you're going to talk to us about genocide? And people came out. We had some great music. I gotta tell you, yes, people did come out for the music too. I mean, that's the special thing, I think, when you got celebrities who want to give. That tells you that, you know, they're willing to put their name out there so that people will come. They believe in the project, you know. So here we are in Griffith Park. We had artist Gregory Baylarian. He was making a video that's going to be taken to the refugee camps in Chad. And our good friend Gabriel Starring from Stop Genocide Now, he's getting ready. Probably in about a week now, he'll be leaving for the refugee camps, and he's taking this video with him. So basically everybody who came Sunday was able to participate in a video that will be shown to many of the kids in the refugee camps. And again, you know, we make that connection because I am ethnically Armenian. My grandparents went through genocide. In fact, on one side, my grandparents were married in a refugee camp. Can you believe that? My grandmother would tell us the story about how she was married in that refugee camp and began her family there. I mean, it's wild stories. And so we relate to them very much. This is like a few years ago when I was in Rwanda, and you're talking to people who have survived genocide. You realize it's all the same nonsense. It's all the same tragedy. It's all the same evil. And so if it is, then we have a response, don't we? That has to be the same response all the way through. Basically, respond with good, respond with love. So that's what we did on Sunday. We responded to this terrible, terrible event that is taking place in Darfur, which we as human beings take that terror up to the next level and identify with this word that is beyond understanding, called genocide. Not killing off a self like suicide, not killing off another human being like homicide, but genocide. Cleaning off an entire gene pool. I mean, how horrible can you get? Where does the human imagination go to on the evil end? How evil, how inhumane. I mean, that word, inhumane, is beyond humanity, right? To think of this and to realize that governments have sanctioned this, have called for systematic annihilation. And it's going on right now. Whereas every other genocide in history has a period on it, right now Darfur has a comma. So we're able to look at Darfur and say, hey, I can do something about it. And that's what we were about last Sunday. We got together. We're getting the information out there and telling them that there are means by which we can address it. That the power of good has to begin with us extending ourselves, showing our care and showing our love to the people in Darfur. Doesn't matter how far away they are, doesn't matter what continent they are, doesn't matter what religion they are, it doesn't matter what background they are or what color their skin is. What does matter is that they are human beings. So they are children of God. And we are human beings too. We're not those monkeys that close our ears, that close our eyes and close our mouth and pretend it doesn't exist. We have to talk about it. And so now picture this, okay? So the entire afternoon, we're like, we've got Gregory Baylorian shooting video. People were just so tickled to come in front of a camera and share something with the refugees in the camps. We had a little Camp Darfur tent, and we had Sophia. She was the docent. She was talking about the Darfuri refugee camps. I mean, waking people up that this is what people are living in. You're talking about a small 8x10 little tent for a family. And inside of this tent, this is where people are, well, like I said, they're beginning their lives. They're existing. And so people were able to see that on one side. We had our Fast for Darfur area. Susie was getting collections, people who want to fast for Darfur. And I want to encourage you, our listeners, you have 40 days right now. I want you to get ready for it. Sign up for the Fast for Darfur. It's going to take place on Easter Eve, April 22nd and 23rd. We need people throughout the world fasting for Darfur. As Jesus tells us, some things are so intense that it requires prayer and fasting. Well, we pray. Now, the fasting requires something of us. It requires a sacrifice from us. Are you up to it? It's one day. Can you do it? You'd be surprised. I know you can, but you got to convince yourself. You can do it. Sign up for that, the Fast for Darfur. Okay. So, speaking of fasting, the opposite of fasting was taking place that day because it was Padaganton, so to speak, the fat Sunday of the Lenten season, just before Lent begins. And so we have a small little group called the Maidens, and they had prepared this great lunch. It was hamburgers and hot dogs, and we had some men flipping over. Yeah, of course, you got an Armenian barbecue, you've got all the men hanging out around the barbecue, flipping over hamburgers and hot dogs, and it was just a great time, okay? Great food, and then some great musicians. Like I said, Gor, Ara, and Melina. Great music. And now this is what happened at the very end. I had a few people that came up to me and they said, we have a small group. We'd like to share a song with the people. And of course I said, why not? Why not? You know, we've got the microphone already up there. And right about then the clouds were coming in. We wanted to stay a little bit warm and it was getting a little bit chilly. And so here it was. And this is what I was saying that Susan noticed right away. You had a small group of about 20, 25 people, all immigrants to the United States, all standing up in different costumes. They brought over different costumes, completely unaware. It was a total surprise, but they wanted to offer something. And they got up with these different costumes up on the stage, and they started singing, "We Are the World." I got to tell you, it was very, very moving. It was very moving because not so much as the music. I mean, it was great. They sang beautifully with accents and all, but you got to remember that it's a shift in mentality. It's we are the world. It's not everybody, hey, come and look at us. Come and look at the poor Armenians. Look what's happened to us. It was, no, we are the world. Not you are the world. Not we wish we could be part of the world. We are the world. And so we're going to be extending ourselves. And it was a shift in mentality. And I think in that sense, so rightly, as Susan pointed out, I think so rightly, this was a huge success. This awareness for Darfur was bigger than we could have ever thought. Because now people were thinking in different terms. People were looking beyond themselves and realizing that the solution, we are part of the solution. Not somebody else, but we are part of the solution. And I keep harping on this because it's a very important one, because April 24th is coming up and a lot of Armenians get all hung up about getting recognition. You know what? The next step in commemoration is helping to do something about genocide today. And it's the only thing that makes sense today. It is the only thing that can make sense. Because looking at the past, you're never going to change anything. But looking at the present, you realize that you have now an obligation. You have a responsibility. As a child of this world. As a child of your heritage. And this, I'm talking about Armenians, but you could extend it to everybody. That's what's beautiful about the Inishu's philosophy. It's not about just Armenians, it's about everybody. Because you know what? Here's the thing about Easter. And I always make this point on Easter Sunday. We don't understand resurrection. I mean, you and I, we've passed by many cemeteries. You've never seen anybody walk out of that cemetery alive. I mean, think about it. That idea of resurrection, what is that? Who can understand that? But you talk about crucifixion. Ah, now we all can relate to crucifixion, can't we? Because we've all been beaten. We've all been battered. We've all been betrayed. We've all felt the nails go through us. Sometimes the pain has been unbearable. And so because we felt that pain, we now have an obligation to help others in pain. That's the idea, walking in the shoes of others. I can love you all I want, but I need to first and foremost respect you. And to respect you, I need to understand your pain. Walking in his shoes. So that's what that weekend was all about. And it was a beautiful, beautiful Sunday afternoon. I want to thank everybody who was there. I want to thank everybody. It was funny, at one point we had CD giveaways, and the people who were working at the CD booth of The Next Step, they were commenting that so many people were telling us that, oh, well, we listened to this as a podcast. So to everybody who was there last weekend, thank you very much. To everybody who couldn't make it, thank you for your prayers. I know we felt your prayers. We felt your prayers intensely because, like I said, it was a miracle. It was a very special afternoon, which really changed the way we look at life. And I know that good things are in the future. Hey, we're going to come back in a few minutes, and I'm going to share some thoughts about the Lenten season we're in. I'm actually going to tell you about some hacking that's taking place. But first, we're going to break, and of course, Ani is ready with today's bubbles.
Today's spiritual bubble is a message written by the CEO of Coca-Cola. Imagine life as a game in which you are juggling some 5 balls in the air. You name them: work, family, health, friends, and spirit, and you're keeping all of these in the air. You soon understand that work is a rubber ball. If you drop it, it will bounce back. But the other 4 balls, family, health, friends, and spirit, are made of glass. If you drop one of these, they will be scuffed, marked, nicked, damaged, or even shattered. They will never be the same. You must understand that and strive for balance in your life. How? Don't undermine your worth by comparing yourself with others. It is because we are different that each of us is special. Don't set your goals by what other people deem important. Only you know what's best for you. Don't take for granted the things closest to your heart. Cling to them as you would your life, for without them, life is meaningless. Don't let your life slip through your fingers by living in the past or for the future. By living your life one day at a time, you live all the days of your life. Don't give up when you still have something to give. Nothing is really over until the moment you stop trying. Don't be afraid to admit that you are less than perfect. It is this fragile thread that binds each of us together. Don't be afraid to encounter risks. It is by taking chances that we learn how to be brave. Don't shut love out of your life by saying it's impossible to find. The quickest way to receive love is to give. The fastest way to lose love is to hold it too tightly. And the best way to keep love is to give it wings. Don't run through life so fast that you forget not only where you've been, but also where you're going. Don't forget that a person's greatest emotional need is to feel appreciated. Don't be afraid to learn. Knowledge is weightless, a treasure you can always carry. And don't use your times or words carelessly. Neither can be retrieved. Life is not a race, but a journey to be savored each step of the way. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Are you writing those down? I am. I'm making notes. I'm definitely worth the rewind on this one, right? Got all the notes from the Coca-Cola CEO. Oh, thank you, honey. Beautiful lesson today. And I love that portion about love. You know, that one stuck out to me. Definitely worth the rewind right now. Gotta go back and listen to those. Taking a few quick notes. But what's the deal about Coca-Cola? What was that? Like, there's only like three people who know the formula, and it's illegal for them, according to the illegal in the... I'm sorry. It's against the policies. It's against the rules of the company, okay? There, I'm gathered myself. And what's the deal with Coca-Cola, right? Isn't there like only three people have the formula and they can't travel together lest something happens to them? And then the formula for Coca-Cola is lost forever. Well, they can keep their formula. Today's bubble made up for that. Thank you again, Ani. Hey, listen, we're going to come back in. I'm going to tell you, I told you about some hacking that's going on, and I think it is so exciting. It is so interesting because it is the Lenten message. Are you ready to hack yourself a little bit? Okay, we're going to come back with that. I do want Susie to let us know what's going on because, you know, this is a really important time in the life of our ministry. We are expanding like you can't believe. We're the number of places that we're reaching. Told you a few minutes ago, we got a call from somebody in France looking for recipes. We're getting messages from people in Syria. We had one of our listeners actually flew down from Canada to join us over the weekend at the Darfur event. And we're going to be interviewing her actually in the next few days. And she's going to be on next week on our next step. You won't want to miss that because you'll be excited to know what's going on in Canada. That's it. Don't ask me more. That's a teaser, okay? You come back next week and you find out. But what I'm telling you is that we're expanding, and we're expanding thanks to your prayers, thanks to your donations for making this happen. Really, it is a new chapter in the way people think. I shared with you about what happened last weekend. It is a new chapter in the way the Armenian Church, the way Armenian Orthodoxy, Armodoxy is being spread, reaching out to people through this means of electronic ministry, epostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an electronic universe. Well, here's Susie to tell you how you can join the fun.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the third year of production and growing daily with new listeners around the globe. This new message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armodoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. Epostle.net is the voice of Armodoxy, committed to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we need to avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at the inhisshoes.org website. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for the reminder, and thank you to all of you who pray for this ministry, who contribute, who make donations regularly to this ministry, because that's how we move forward with everything. You know, it's a tangible means of showing your participation, of participating. You know, the other day somebody was asking me, They said, "Who are the good folks? You always talk about the good folks at apostle.net." Well, yeah, it's talking about Ken, who's behind the scenes over there. It's talking about Susie. That's she's part of apostle.net. It's Ani with her voice, myself, and a few others that are praying for us, a few others that are contributing for us. And I started thinking about it. Well, who are the good folks? The good folks are really all of us. You. You who participate are part of the good folks. Every week that I say, by the good folks at apostle.net, sometimes I get really excited about it and I'll say, the cool folks. Well, you are cool because you're giving of yourself. You're giving of yourself. I mean, tell me, is there something cooler than that? Think about it for a moment. Yeah, so when we talk about apostle.net, it's not at the exclusion of anybody. We're all part of the same game. It's an electronic ministry. It's bringing apostolic, what the apostles did, bringing the word and the truth of Jesus Christ, the power of love to the people. And how do you do it? You use the means that are available to you. During apostolic times, they would walk from village to village. That was the means, okay? You'd walk one foot in front of the other, and then you'd get to the village, and you'd tell them. You'd tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. St. Paul was struggling in prison, but he used the means that were available to him. He wrote letters. He would write a letter to somebody, to a village, to a community. St. John did nothing less. He was at the island of Patmos. He wrote the gospel. He wrote his gospel. He used the means that were available to him. And throughout the centuries, they used the means to get this message across. If it was writing, they would write on tablets. If it was in art, they would paint a picture. If it was on stained glass, they would make the stained glass radiate the story of life, of love. When the printing press came, they started printing. And now we have this means of electronic communications. It's not anything more superior. It's not anything different. It gives us a different means by which we can use and get that message out. And the message is the same. Nothing changes in the message. But the means that are available to us now have increased. So we can use. Yes, we can still do the same old means. Definitely, you could put one foot in front of the other, and that's still valid, still necessary. You need to have that personal contact. Put one foot in front of the other and get to your local church. Pick up a pen and start writing. Take your computer and type up. Get the message out to people. But also the apostle model is giving us something that we didn't have before, didn't have the opportunity. So why aren't we using it? Well, we should be, because the church throughout the centuries, as I said a few minutes ago, has used whatever technology has given it to get this message out. And once you come in contact with the risen Christ, once you understand what Christianity, Armenian Orthodoxy teaches, there's nothing that could shut you up. That's the other side of it too. It's like Jesus tells us, the kingdom of heaven is like the man, the merchant, who finds that pearl of great value. And his desire for that pearl is so intense that he sells everything that he has just to go out there and be able to have that, to buy that pearl. Once you come in contact with Armenian Orthodoxy, what the Armenian Church, of what that kingdom of God here on earth is, you are willing to sacrifice and give up everything just to have it. And then once you have it, it's now in your possession. The only thing you can do is enjoy it. And enjoying means you open it up. You let others see it. You let others experience it. The kingdom of God. Armedoxy. It's right there. So thank you. Thank you to everybody who participates in this. You are the good folks at apostle.net. I mentioned We are in the Lenten season right now. And as I said, our website is up and it has all kinds of resources. Do take advantage of all of that stuff being there. The daily readings, the daily recipes, the messages that are out there, they're all at epostle.net. Press on that little icon that says Lenten Journey. But a small article that got my attention was something that's taking place right now, today. As we are doing this podcast, a group of people are meeting in Vancouver, Canada, and under the name Pwn2Own, P-W-N, the letter 2, O-W-N, Pwn2Own Hacking Contest, and they are hacking away. Let me read something right off of their website. It says 11 individuals or teams have registered for Pwn2Own, which will pit the researchers against four web browsers: Apple's Safari, Google's Chrome, Microsoft's Internet Explorer, and Mozilla's Firefox, as well as against smartphones running Apple's iOS, Google's Android, Microsoft's Windows 7 phone, and RIM's BlackBerry OS. Cash prizes for this year? Pwn2Own's total $125,000 as a record. So check this out. For the next few days, they are there, and their whole assignment, these people, these teams, are to hack away and to break in. And as we are speaking, I did a search and found out that, you know, it has already started, of course, and two of the browsers have already fallen. It says Safari and IE Crumble first in the Pwn2Own. So both Apple and Microsoft, too bad. You were too easy to crack, to hack. So I guess the case is made, and I know Susie's happy about this one. She's always after me to update to Firefox whenever we crack open a new computer. Are you running that, Ken? Yeah, okay. I gotta check on you. Anyway, so interestingly enough, they have to hack at these systems. And there are prizes there. There are prizes at the end of the day, prizes at the end of the competition. And it seems like one person, I seem to have lost his name. I will put a link on our website so you could, on our show notes, so you could link up and read more about this if it interests you. It seems like one person keeps winning every year. He keeps coming back and he is the winner. He is the person who is able to hack. And the reason why I bring it up today, because, well, as I was reading the article, as I was getting intrigued, because I just love this technology stuff, the ability to do it. I mean, we were hacking computers back in the 1980s when I had the beautiful opportunity of being the pastor up in Cupertino, of all places, the home of Apple computers. And, well, as a pastor, what do you got to do? You got to get to know your people, right? So getting to know them, I had to learn what they were doing. They were programmers. They were engineers. So we had a lot of fun during those 15 years, and especially watching Silicon Valley evolve. I mean, watching Apple computers move from the garage to this giant complex, this multi-billion dollar enterprise that it is today. I mean, it's exciting. And electronics, I mean, was cutting edge technology. But as I said, as a good pastor, what you need to do is, one of the techniques is to be able to understand who your people are and to be able to set up the metaphors. And we had a lot of fun setting up those metaphors. And I want to take advantage of it today with you, which I figured, okay, if you're listening to a podcast, it's a little bit different than turning on a radio, right? More than an on-off button. You kind of got to know where to go. You got to know how to download it. And there's certainly a couple thousand of you that are doing this every week. So I'm going, okay, so let's extend the metaphor. There it is. It's a hacking. It's a hacking game. Lent, right? I mean, think about it for a moment. When you're in the Lenten season, what are you doing? You're putting your guards down and you're saying, go ahead, hack at me. And you're taking that look inside. You're breaking down the barriers. You're breaking down what keeps you up so that you can get to the inside code, what is necessary for you to be living. As I mentioned last week, it's not a question of just giving up meat. It's not a question of giving up anything. It's a question of understanding who you are, bringing down life to the bare essentials, hacking away at the codes so that you understand. Basically, you flatline at the Unix line, right? A little bit too much, right? Sorry about that. I get into this. You could tell I get into this. But basically understanding what makes us tick. What is it that is essential for life? Is it the foods? Is it the mental games? Is it the education? Is it the love and the attention? What do I need to make my life a fruitful life? So that my life has meaning. It has purpose. So that I wake up in the mornings and I want to live that life. I want to connect. I want to be able to say that, yes, my life has this purpose. And to be able to reflect inside means that you need to tear down some of the walls. That's what we do during the Lenten season. We bring it down to a bare minimum. Now, this is our first week of Lent. We've just finished our first week, and we're getting ready to begin the second week. Now, this Sunday is called Expulsion Sunday. Last week, we talked about Padeginton. This one, here's the Armenian word we're going to learn today, Ardaksman. Ardaksman. Ardaksman means expelled, to be expelled. Ardak means outside. Ardaksel, to go outside, okay? To go outside, be expelled. And this is in reference, of course, to paradise. Now, the metaphors, the usual metaphors that they talk about are usually with Adam and Eve. I tend to stay away from that because Adam and Eve conjures up too many images that come to us from the movies, basically of the naked man and the naked woman standing in the middle of a garden with fig leaves sewn on them and the woman handing over an apple. First of all, there was no apple in the story. Go ahead, read it. It's in Genesis chapter 1. There's no apple. It's the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. For all we should know, it probably was an apricot. Why? Well, because if you look at the definition of where the Garden of Eden was, this is found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 10. I'm getting technical here. It shows that, well, you put it on today's map, it's basically in historic Armenia. And there is one fruit that is indigenous to Armenia, Prunus armenica, commonly known as the apricot. That's true. So it's probably an apricot tree, okay? But anyway, that's what I mean. That's why I don't want to get into the Adam and Eve story, because basically we get caught up in all of these ideas that have been given to us, and we try to prove that, yes, Adam was a man, Eve was a woman, and there was God. No, no, forget that. Here's the armadoxy approach. Adam means from the earth. Adam means man. Eve means woman. The story is about God creating life. The story is about God creating us, you and me. And if you follow the story out, the story of Adam and Eve, what is it? It's not about fruit or being deceived or anything like that. It's about going against the will of God. And it's so easy to talk about this story that takes place in the Bible, in a myth, in the metaphor. What's more difficult and the challenge for you and me is this. Put yourself in the shoes of Adam and Eve. Because you and I go against the will of God every single day. He gives us something very basic. Just like he did in the story. He says, have everything you want. Enjoy it all, except this one thing. And any of you that have had any time parenting know. You tell your children, right? You say, go ahead, watch any channel you want, except this one channel. Go away for 2 seconds, come back. What channel are they watching? Go ahead and tell your child, go ahead and play with anything you want except that one toy. Because it's too heavy and it could break something. Go away for 2 minutes, come back. What are they playing with? The forbidden toy, the forbidden channel, the forbidden fruit. And each of us does this. We are given a chance at life. And God says, go ahead. Love one another. Take care of one another. Be good to one another. And what do we say? Not everybody. What do we say? We say, not, where's the profit in it? What's in it for me? Instead of following the will of God, instead of listening to the commandment to love, to share, to care for one another, we create our own rules and regulations. The story of Ardaksman Giragi, of Expulsion Sunday, is exactly this. going against the will of God. And so you look at the passage that we read. It comes to us from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through 7. You find the sermon. Specifically, we find this week's gospel reading, lectionary reading, coming to us from the Sermon on the Mount, in which Jesus says, "You have heard that it has been said." And he goes on to say the rules that have been given. In particular, I want to focus on this one. He says, "You have heard that it has been said, do not kill. But I tell you, he who harbors anger in his heart has already killed, is already liable for murder." That's how intense the Christian message is. That's the type of challenge that you and I have been called to. Not to talk about murder and anything else besides the most very simple of things. Harboring anger. Each of us is guilty of murder. Each of us is guilty of adultery. Each of us is guilty of theft, according to that litany that Jesus goes through. Okay, what does that mean? Each of us is guilty of sin. Now rise up from it. How? By finding those faults in yourself. By realizing that you have it within your power to rise up. God is there with you, to stand with you, to give you the courage, the patience, the virtues that you need. But you need to be able to lift yourself up from that situation that you're in. And say that, you know, yes, I am living outside of paradise. My life can be paradise when I want to walk back in there, when I want to get back. As Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. When I want to achieve, when I want to strive for that perfection that God puts in front of us. That's the Lenten journey. That's what we're about this Lenten season. And I invite you to follow all of the Lenten messages that we have, because it really does take you through this journey that ends you up at a very special place. And you've been lucky because we have that Lenten journey up on the website. You could sneak ahead to day 40, but don't do it that way. Take a day at a time. Take a message. Listen to it, grasp it, and then pray about it. Meditate, let it sink in, and then you're going to find what's going to happen is you go through the 40 days of Lent and you end up at the end of Lent, and what do you have? The ultimate miracle, the miracle of life. Because you find that Lent is not about taking something out of your life. It's not hacking away so that there's nothing left. It's hacking away so that you can clean it and place love in its place. So that when it is void of all of these extras, only love can consume you. And then you're open to the ultimate miracle. Why do you think resurrection waits for us at the end of Lent? Because once you're cleaned up, you understand what that resurrection is about. So that, yes, you can understand crucifixion because you've been through all those difficulties. But now you start accepting and understanding resurrection in your life. The power to rise beyond death. Are you in there with me? I hope so. Join us again next week. We'll continue this Lenten journey together here on The Next Step. In the meantime, let me just invite you to join us on the website. A lot of interesting stuff going on. Join us at inhisshoes.org and apostle.net. That's Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. For the wonderful crew who put today's podcast together, for Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, for Ani and her bubbles, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store.
To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.